We're discussing campaign finance following the money in politics on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. So as midterm election spending ramps up, we look at where candidates are raising big money. Open Secrets, the nonprofit monitoring and reporting on campaign contributions, they show that more than $31 million has been raised in the race for Wisconsin's U.S. Senate seat, with $10.5 million of that for incumbent Ron Johnson. Last report filed March 31st. Join in on Tracking Money in Politics, 800-642-1234. Sheila Krumholtz is Executive Director of Open Secrets. Sheila, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Open Secrets has such a massive database trove of campaign contributions and expenditures and ways to sort and look at it. And that really allows you to dig deeply into that question. How much does money influence elections now? What can you tell us?
Yes, we certainly do have a lot of data, and we're a nonpartisan research group that tracks money at the federal and now also at the state level. So we just have hundreds of millions of data points that we try to summarize, aggregate, so that people can make sense of the money flowing into the races for candidates they'll be voting on in these primaries and the general in November. And we hope that people dive in to opensecrets.org to find out information that they can use in their political engagement.
You found that the 2020 election cycle was the most expensive in American history. What can we expect from the midterms?
You know, I think we're in for more of the same and then some. We really were taken aback, really kind of gobsmacked by the money flowing in the last cycle. Obviously, a presidential cycle always ramps up the amounts spent. And so there's kind of a two steps forward, one step back between the presidential cycles and the midterm cycles at the federal level. But never had we dreamed that we would be seeing $14.4 billion spent just at the federal level, which is more than double what had been spent in the previous presidential election cycle. So I think we're on a new path, a new trajectory in terms of money spent. And there is, obviously it won't be as much as was spent in the presidential cycle, but we're already seeing that this is, you know, expensive races is going to be one of the hallmarks of this cycle, given the trend in election spending over the years and the intensity of competition this year.
And I think the natural question is, where is all this money flowing in from? You know, who are these candidates getting their contributions from?
Well, we, as I say, we take all of this massive amount of data reported by the candidates, PACs, super PACs, party committees, and we aggregate it so that you can see where the money is coming from, looking at it by industry, by organization. And over time, it's pretty consistent that most, when you aggregate it like that, most of the money is coming from finance, insurance, and real estate. Mm. So these are the people that have perhaps more disposable income. So coming from PACs and especially from individuals giving more than $200, giving large sums of money. And then also kind of miscellaneous business, all kinds of business, large and small, tech and health are kind of three areas where we're seeing major growth in campaign contributions. Interestingly, when you look at it, including not just industry, but interest groups, retirees give the most money. In the last cycle, they gave the larger group that they are included in gave hundreds of millions of dollars, and they themselves gave let's see, they gave $664 million in the last cycle, 62% to Republicans. So it's interesting to see kind of when we break it up like that, where the money is coming from. But historically, consistently, over time, finance, insurance, and real estate, Wall Street, banks, and then especially over the last many years with healthcare reform in Congress, we've seen healthcare really skyrocket, and specifically pharmaceuticals spending a lot of money to support political campaigns.
I'm going to reintroduce you here for a moment as we talk about money in politics with Sheila Krumholz here, Executive Director of Open Secrets and that nonpartisan, nonprofit work of looking at campaign finance and where the money is flowing. You can join in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. You know, Sheila, I have a penchant for your anomaly tracker. I find it really fun to play with this tool that you kind of look at anomalies in money and politics data. And one of those is that lawmakers receiving more than 50% of their itemized contributions from out of state. And you can look by state and, you know, you can look at Wisconsin as well. But I'm wondering what these anomalies tell you.
Well, we're always, again, we're trying to help people make sense of this sea of data that shows that our elections are awash in money. And to understand when something is out of the ordinary, when something doesn't kind of line up with what typically happens. And so by illuminating kind of distinct trends, we're hoping that people can both engage in what interesting outliers we're seeing, but also potentially make sense of them, because we don't pretend to know what's going on in every race across the country. And we know that people, locally in your cities and states, they understand, they know the donors, they know the candidates, they know these names, and they know what's going on, and they might understand why there would be a sudden blip in money coming from a particular sector and going to a particular candidate, or party. So with these anomaly trackers, we're simply trying to help people.
You're putting it out there.
Yeah, we're just trying to help people engage with the data and possibly help make sense of it. Like, oh, I can tell you what happened there. So and with that, I would put in a plug that if people see an anomaly or want to see a way to look at the data, have an idea for an anomaly tracking process, we'd love to hear from them.
Well, let's take a call now. Dave joining us from Madison. Dave, hi, go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a question for the guest. It involves the 2020 elections, the presidential elections, and I'm sure she's aware of what Mark Zuckerberg did in the state of Wisconsin. He rolled in with a lot of money, spent a fortune concentrating on left-leaning areas and brought out the vote. And it made a huge impact. He might very well have swung Wisconsin. My question is, what does your caller or your guest think of this? Is there legislation that might eliminate that sort of thing? That technically it was legal, but right or wrong is another question. I'm curious about your guest, her thoughts on that.
Dave, thank you. Sheila, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Understandably, there's great concern about the tech industries kind of putting their thumb on the scales in political campaigns. There was so much money pouring into online ads. And of course, this conversation really dates back to the 2016 election and the work of Cambridge Analytica and others to target focus attention of social media users on advertisements that were coming from, in many cases, untrustworthy sources. The point is, there is legislation now being considered in Congress to regulate the tech industry. Highly controversial, of course, because there is the argument that this is, you know, a First Amendment right. So the point is, certainly there is a way for citizens, and I think a need for citizens, to not just pay attention, but to weigh in on what they're seeing in their state and what they think about regulation of the tech industry. We do not lobby. We do not take a position on any particular bill other than anything relating to transparency. So if it is purely transparency, we do support making more information data about our elections transparent, because mm-hmm. we feel we can't do our job at Open Secrets, the press can't do their job, the voters ultimately cannot do their job if they have one hand tied behind their back, if they don't have access to information. So I would encourage people to take a look at the tech industry's investments in politics on our website, but also, yes, there is legislation moving in that area.
And I think Dave was driving more at that grant money that Wisconsin received in 2020 from the group called Center for Tech and Civic Life that was funded by Zuckerberg. And, you know, Wisconsin's five largest cities received this grant funding to help run the election during the pandemic. So it's not exactly money that is going, well, not exactly, not money going to a particular campaign, but going to the election system apparatus itself, which is different than campaign finance.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't.
No, that's okay. That. That's okay.
The Center for Tech and Civic Life. Yes, received a lot of money to help with election administration, calling into question for many the independence of that organization. I mean, election administration is one of the huge themes this cycle. Mm-hmm. Across the country, we're seeing battles for election administration positions that used to be kind of a sleepy backwater, you know, attended to by career nonpartisan election administrators, election administration bodies that are newly politicized. You know, officials mm-hmm. are questioned about bias, and candidates are running to replace those longtime officials with party allied administrators, raising new concerns about bias. So, people can differ on how they feel about, you know, the independence of these election administration bodies, but I can't underscore more enough the importance of these positions mm-hmm. and the importance of them being skilled and nonpartisan and independent bodies and officials.
I'll remember sleepy backwater. That terminology there. Sheila Krumholtz heads up Open Secrets campaign contributions, lobbying data analysis on money in politics. Join in on questions about election fundraising, outside donations, money from PACs. What is dark money? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're following the money in politics with help from the government transparency nonprofit Open Secrets. According to its new analysis, Democratic megadonor George Soros is currently the top individual super PAC donor for the 2022 midterms. What they call guardian angel donors contributed roughly $285 million to three dozen super PACs. Still time to campaign finance reforms you want to see. 800-642-1234. Sheila Krumholtz is Open Secrets Executive Director with us for about seven more minutes. Sheila, you know, multiple candidates for Senate and governor in Wisconsin are millionaires in their own right, could self-fund their campaigns. How does personal wealth of a candidate affect their campaigns and affect fundraising?
Yeah, that's interesting because you know, we have contribution limits on contributions to candidates, PACs and parties. So all types of contributions are limited except for candidate contributions to their own campaigns. The bad news, you know, is that if a candidate is self-funding, it raises the question for many whether you can buy a seat in Congress, or raising the question about whether this can only be the turf for wealthy people. That's the bad news. The good news is that most self-funded candidates, if that is a concern, most self-funded candidates typically lose. In terms of the gubernatorial race, you know, I think the same questions apply. Are these wealthy candidates, people who are skilled in politics? Do they have understanding of the issues facing the state? Can they relate to the everyday economic hardships of the people they hope to represent? But yes, as you said, kind of on the front end, already we've seen more than $18 million raised, $14.2 million coming from Governor Evers, with $3.4 million raised by Republican Rebecca Clefish. So millions and millions of dollars already pouring into that important race.
So I would imagine, too, with this big money, how is the need to raise big money a racial equity issue? How does that disproportionately affect people of color?
Well, because people of color are not as represented among the donors, the large donors and mega donors, mm-hmm. To our politics, one concern is that they are not being represented in the candidates who are being supported to run. And so do we truly have a representative democracy when people of color are not represented among the donors, among the candidates, among the victors, ultimately? Mm-hmm. So we are studying here the race and gender of candidates running for federal office, and also working with the Center for American Women in Politics to look at the donors and candidates running at the state level as well. Just trying to map out for people, you know, how representative is our system, and in what circumstances will women of color, people of color, raise enough money and ultimately be victorious.
Let's take another call now. Aaron in Oshkosh, you're on with Sheila Krumholtz, the Executive Director of Open Secrets.
Yes, good morning, ladies. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I guess I have one basic point to make. Some might take it as naive, but since these people are running for an office which is a public office, all campaigning should be done on public media, public television, public radio, public websites. It's a new era. Everybody's got their smartphones and feeds, and they can find information of their own accord. But if we're going to establish a neutral, common playing field once and for all, and use those $14 billion for some greater social good to help our country out, then that is the solution, in my opinion.
Aaron, thank you for that. Sheila, what do you make of it?
You know, I think that has long been a dream of people who are concerned about money's undue or disproportionate influence in American politics. There was, for many years, decades, an effort for free TV. Of course, now with the advent of online advertising, I think we're probably not going back to just TV. If anything, we're moving very quickly to more and more of the campaigning being done online. But yeah, it does, and we don't take a position on whether, you know, campaigns should move to public media. But we do understand that people are really exercised about the billions of dollars that flow into politics and whether it has disproportionate influence over who ultimately is elected to represent us. I mean, these are our elections. And there is an increase in small donations. So we have seen a significant increase in money coming in relatively small amounts. It's not all, you know, funded by billionaires and through super PACs and dark money. But, you know, there are concerning trends, and that's what we're trying to kind of peel apart to elucidate where the real issues are. For instance, you know, the big money, the super PAC money, the unlimited contributions very often is directed at the most competitive races.
Sheila, thank you for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Sheila Krumholtz is Executive Director of Open Secrets, the nonprofit monitoring campaign contributions. We have a link to Open Secrets at WPR.org/mornings. Ahead this hour, we continue our series of conversations with Wisconsin C-suites, talking with companies that have roots in Wisconsin. Next stop is Northwestern Mutual, the insurance and financial services powerhouse headquartered in Milwaukee. News update is next on the Ideas Network.